Welcome to Stop the Presses. Your host, Mark Anderson. Yes, you're not deceiving yourself. I am live today on the 27th of December, 2019. Isn't it strange that soon there'll be no more years that go 201 something? It's going to be 2020, obviously 2020 and beyond. Time just marches on inexorably. And I hope everyone's having a great holiday season with the new year nearly upon us. Hopefully we'll have 2020 and 2020, that is 2020 vision, have clearer insights into what troubles us and what ails us as a people, as a nation, as a world, and to be able to correct those problems. Certainly I'm going to buckle down like never before to go broader and deeper in exposing what's going on and trying to offer reasonable solutions wherever practicable. An indication of that was as 2019 drew to a close, I did the in-depth review, both the live shows and the reruns at times, which were necessary because of the depth of the information, about Dr. Richard L. Day, that mysterious legacy, as retold by another Dr. Lawrence Dunnigan, and the predictions, very prophetic, very chilling, that Dr. Day made in 1969, making 2019 the 50th year since those very prescient and chilling and prophetic predictions that painted a world of tyranny. And Dr. Day spoke favorably of that. Now, one of the things that he mentioned, among a myriad of things, is the way the media would operate, the way ideas would be generated and put out there. And certainly few of us would disagree with the general statement that television has a very weaponized component to it. A lot of aspects of television are arguably weaponized. And so depending on what kind of message is being put across, we can be either free or less free. We can be more or less prosperous. We can be out of or put in to bondage. And what better place to start than not just the news media, but what's often overlooked in alternative media circles as well, and that is the so-called entertainment media. Now, the entertainment media, of course, is consisting of dramas that are supposed to make us cry or be somber, and then as well as comedies, sitcoms. I like some of them. Frasier is one of my favorites. But when you start looking at the police dramas, particularly the modern police dramas, ladies and gentlemen, we begin to see signs of something quite underhanded going on. And there is no one more conspicuous, if you look closely, than the show Criminal Minds. Now, Criminal Minds has gained critical acclaim, for its characterization, pacing, atmosphere, acting, directing, writing. It's a rating hit for CBS, they say. And it is in its 13th or 14th season. It spawned franchises, including a South Korean adaptation and a video game. And here it is. The show was renewed for its 15th and final season of 10 episodes starting this coming January 8th, 2020. And Criminal Minds is described as an American police procedural crime drama created by Jeff Davis. He's of Teen Wolf fame, I'm told. And it follows a group of behavioral FBI profilers who work for the FBI, of course, as a behavioral analysis unit. And they go around the country investigating particularly heinous or difficult crimes. And I am supposed to be joined today by my sometimes co-host, Ron Avery. Is Ron with us yet?
I'm on now.
Great, Ron. I was just giving the intro. I was recapping a little bit of 2019, and I was giving the intro about the CBS crime drama Criminal Minds. And thanks for joining me as a co-host. We sometimes call it the Ron and Mark or Mark and Ron show, ladies and gentlemen, where we spare no humor and we spare no feelings in saying what we need to say. We're not very nice, but you hate to love us or you love to hate us. It's one or the other.
Sounds good.
But anyway, Ron, I was talking about how Criminal Minds, which we've talked about off the air, is a police procedural crime drama created by Jeff Davis of Teen Wolf fame. And not many of us get a chance to sit down and vent our spleen against the rest of society via national and even international distribution networks. And imagine if we had that kind of power, Ron, where our ideas in a fictional or non-fictional format could be written, and we're given this prime privilege, okay? No one else is going to get to write for CBS and write this crime drama, only you and I, Ron, and we get to say whoever the bad guys are, whoever the good guys are, that's defined by us. Everyone else, millions, hundreds of millions of people will never have this happen to them. But Jeff Davis gets to do this, you see, because he's so talented and we're not.
And he's so connected and we're not.
Yes. And so in this crime drama, Criminal Minds, which he first brought to CBS around 2003, 2004 in an original script, it debuted in 2005. And as I said right before you got on, it's renewed for its 15th and final season, which will consist of 10 episodes starting this coming January 8th. Well, today we're going to analyze, ladies and gentlemen, in the wake of my broadcast about Dr. Richard L. Day, which I talked about, we're going to begin analyzing from time to time on this show, not just the mass media cartel in terms of the news media, but the mass media cartel in terms of the entertainment media and in terms of propaganda delivered via fiction, not just propaganda delivered via nonfiction. This is being overlooked in a very, very big way. And I happened to be up one night and I was watching Criminal Minds, and it is a pretty good show from time to time. I grew up liking Sherlock Holmes and Columbo and whatnot, Charlie Chan. And this is not to say that there's no talent in the show, but that's just it. The effectiveness of it, the drama, the impact, if combined with false propagandizing information, can be very, very weaponized. And what I found was in a particular episode, and this episode was called, listen closely, Ron, False Flag, and it was the 9th episode of season 13 and the 286th overall episode of Criminal Minds. And wow. The behavioral analysis unit, the special group of FBI agents that travel from crime to crime,
Could you run that back again? Because I might want to watch this thing for real. What episode and all that was it?
Oh, yeah. Well, we'll have it on the archive. But the 9th episode of season 13, episode 9, the 286th overall, right. And it consists of a group of FBI agents who are specially trained, the behavioral analysis unit, as I mentioned right before you got on, and they, in this episode, they travel all over the country, of course, solving particularly heinous or challenging crimes. In this episode, they travel to Roswell, New Mexico, the episode called False Flag, and they confront a group of truthers, as they're referred to, or conspiracy theorists. That term is also used. And what's interesting here is that there's a lot of conflation going on. When you look up the TV listing for that particular particular episode of Criminal Minds, there's a list of reference criminals for this episode. And the reference criminals list, Ron, goes all the way from the September 11 hijackers, Lee Harvey Oswald, the Chicago Outfit, which was the Chicago Italian mob, James Holmes, the Colorado theater shooter, Adam Lanza, your friend and mine out of Sandy Hook, Charles Manson, who could not know that name? Mother and Apple Pie comes up in my mind. Mark David Chapman of John Lennon fame, John Hinckley of Ronald Reagan fame, Howard Unruh, who was a completely obscure, unknown character who in the 1940s just decided to pick up a gun and just walk through some neighborhood and randomly shoot at people, like in a trance. Mm-hmm. No political connections, no, you know, back before the words conspiracy theorists came out of the CIA in a memo during the 1960s after the Kennedy thing. And then we jump right from Howard Unruh, Ron, right to Adolf Hitler. So Howard Unruh and Adolf Hitler are of the same class, you see. And then we go to Stephen Paddock, who is the amazing Las Vegas shooter who got half an army up the heavily guarded hotels of Las Vegas and just opened fire like World War III, and the rooms right above or right to the side of him, well, they must have just kept right on sleeping, Ron. Not that that racket of one rifle after another, not that that would make any noise, not that that would attract anyone's attention. You're just going to be able to get away with constant ongoing shooting without anyone intervening.
From
400 yards away, almost a quarter mile.
And then you might want to beat yourself up before you get shot.
Right. Don't
before you shoot
to
yourself,
right.
Beat yourself up. He had some wounds on himself before he was found dead. He was supposedly shot himself, but he had all these bruises around. So kind of weird. I guess so he was falling over the coffee table trying to get to the window and stuff.
Right, one personality beat the other one up. Then we have Devin Patrick Kelly. Hey, our lovely, amazing Superman shooter out of Sutherland Springs, Texas, where you had hundreds of rounds that somehow didn't damage the outer siding, and the old siding was still there.
There is signs of damage on the siding, but what is phenomenal, incredible, is that there wasn't a single glass pane broken.
Why in the world would you just shoot
up all the wooden panels and miss all the glass? Wouldn't you want to blow out some panels so you could see in there? So what you're shooting at?
Well, right, but the sighting, of course, would have been much more damage had the 400 rounds that everyone says were fired, because if you didn't hit the windows, which weren't hit, you'd have to hit the sighting because that's the only other thing to hit. And yes, there was a little bit of signs of damage, but not 400 rounds worth. But anyway, that's not the point. The point is here is this list is of everyone from the Chicago mob to the Sutherland Springs shooter to Adolf Hitler. And they were all referenced in some way, shape, or form, according to this TV listing, about the false flag episode of Criminal Minds. Now, I watched pretty much the whole thing. I don't remember all of them being listed in the direct sense. I think what it means is it was a little bit indirectly as well as directly, in other words, by innuendo as well as specific mentions of this. Mm-hmm. But what's amazing is to conflate people that were political leaders, like him or not, like Hitler, and conflate him with some guy that just walked through the neighborhood in the 1940s and shot his neighbor and maybe shot a dog and shot a few other people.
Yeah, so, the guy shooting up the neighborhood didn't write Mein Kampf and do a lot of thinking.
You have a
thinker that leads a nation compared to a moron stumbling through the neighborhood.
Right, but what's interesting here is that the criminal minds in this episode are basically, by this conflation, the truthers, the conspiracy theorists themselves. And we're going to play an audio clip here, and this one's about 2 minutes long. We're going to play for the board op people, the second audio clip that I sent today, we're going to play about the first 2 minutes of the second audio clip. Let's do that right now. And what we're hearing is the Behavioral Analysis Unit of Criminal Minds going to Roswell, New Mexico. Of course, here it is. Go ahead.
Most likely in his 20s, based on the two victims so far. But before we go any further, we need to be clear. Age is the most difficult variable to predict. He could be in his 40s.
A very fit 40s.
So our point is, the profile is a guide only. It's an investigative tool, and we need to stress that. All we have is a series of deductions, but one of those deductions is that the unsub knew his victims personally, which is why we're delivering the profile to you, because you also knew the victims. So our goal is not to make you uncomfortable or suspicious. Normally, we wouldn't even give the profile this early, but you are our best chance at discovering the identity of... Yes?
I have a question for Agent Rossi.
Go ahead.
Why did your last book suck so bad?
Well, we're not going to talk about that now.
Really? That's all I want to talk about. I mean, do you even consider that Tommy Yates was a patsy?
Look, we get it, okay? You have no reason to trust us. We're the FBI, and you are the official community of the Roswell, New Mexico Truthers.
Thanks for not calling us conspiracy theorists.
Well, we know you don't like that term. Well, we don't agree with your opinions. A lot of people do. Like how September 11th was an inside job, or how vapor trails from jets are poisonous, or how lizard people are secretly running the government.
Ah, confirmation from the FBI. You all heard it.
No, see, that's specifically not what I was... Okay, we need your help to stop a killer who is hiding in this group. That's why we're having this here, in this Legion Hall, and not at the police station. We don't want you to feel surveilled.
What did you put in my pocket?
Drop it!
Okay, we'll stop it right there. Interjecting right there, Ron, about 2 minutes before the first break, that's the Behavioral Analysis Unit speaking to the truthers of all places, of course, in Roswell, New Mexico. You know, more parody there. And you'll notice how something as serious as looking into 9/11 is lumped right in with lizard people.
Yeah, and first of all, I've never been a follower of all that kind of stuff, and that a lot of this is to discredit people when they really do try to investigate something. You have some bonehead out there advocating the idea that there's unevolved lizard people walking around, and or angels that have had sex with the man, and they're just left over from giants. I mean, a lot of this stuff is just pure garbage, but it gets associated with those who are legitimately trying to find out what in the hell a dissolved and tyrannical government is up to.
Yes, and that's exactly right. This is out to tarnish those, so they'll put something in there that might deserve serious consideration, like 9/11, lump it in with something like the lizard people that would make most people roll their eyes. Again, conflating, just like putting all these criminal figures together in the TV's listing, many of whom are, you know, it's such a divergent type of criminal, such a divergent list of criminals, that it's pretty much thrown together. And so that's that same conflation process. So if you throw legitimate so-called conspiratorial avenues of inquiry in with illegitimate or very, very, oddball ones, then absurdities. You seek to, absurdities, then you seek to delegitimize them all. Then the implication is just be quiet, believe what you're told, and none of these are worth investigating. We already told you what happened. Believe the official line, go back to sleep, take the blue pill.
That's right. And that's what most people are doing.
Right. So Criminal Minds, and we'll talk about this more after the break that's nearly upon us, is perhaps the most striking in terms of using fiction to deliver propaganda. We'll listen to more and comment more right after this.
Simple smile, such platonic eye, how they drown in incomplete capacity. Strangers thought them all when the fear it calls, how we drown in stylistic audacity. Charge the common ground.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75%. Dandruff, almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding, coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
And returning to Stop the Presses, a great drummer there, Alan White of Yes, and Ron and I are both drummers. We can appreciate that. At any rate, a couple of quick announcements. Right now at henrymako.com, henrymako.com, I have one of the top articles posted about the late great radio priest, Father Charles Coughlin, who preached against the banksters in a practical as well as spiritual way. Check it out. It is intended to clear his name of the almost century-old claim that he was an unrepentant anti-Semite. And I show very clearly that that's not true. And there's also a link on that article to a longer piece about Father Coughlin that gets into more depth about the calumny and the libel against him that has went on for far too long. We need more preachers like Father Coughlin. Also on the RBN website, there is a new post about a video I did with World Impact News with Pastor Jason Mangum here from South Texas, a constitutionalist pastor, and that is the impeachment, one coup leads to another. Check out that video and article right now on the Republic Broadcasting website, and it also announces the fact that Jason will be my guest on Stop the Presses this coming Monday to talk more about the aftermath of the impeachment. Now, Ron, getting back to this, I'll play the next clip after the bottom of the hour. But, you know, when you consider the fictional context, you had mentioned to me that you had seen a movie recently. Let's talk about that momentarily. What have you noticed about when you deliver propaganda through fiction? What I've noticed is you're not interpreting it as propaganda when you think it's fiction, when you think it's just made up. And so you might not see it. I know you saw a movie you might want to comment about, or maybe you want to comment in general.
Yeah, I think it's really almost the most dangerous form of propaganda, because you think you're being entertained. Your mind is basically relaxed. You're not trying to analyze. You're not looking for cues all through it. You're just absorbing whatever is being sent your way. And you're following the main plot, not subplots, and not propaganda being shot in from the sides and stuck onto it. In fact, I put a little short critique of the movie we went to see. It was called Knives Out. It's a brand new release. And, few people have seen it, but one of the few said, I loved the movie. It wasn't overkill with innuendos. It is a story, not a documentary. So she was kind of upset that I said that about the movie. And quite frankly, my wife was irritated too, because I was actually quite angry at the end of the movie, kind of, because it had a great plot, but it had this other stuff attached to it that actually ruined the movie. So I can talk about that later on, but that's the summary of it. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, so this is a brand new dramatic movie, and yeah, we can talk about the nature of the propaganda maybe after the bottom of the hour, or probably I should say, but the bottom line is that what we need to watch out for as a truth community, as truthers, there's that almost pejorative, is that the news media, the mass media cartel, is but one avenue for degrading and subversive and unconstitutional and immoral and legal and otherwise illicit ideas to get through. And that will apply to children as well as adults. And as we're saying here, you drop your guard when you think it's either dramatic fiction or funny fiction, whatever it might be, comedy or not. And comedy can be a very effective tool for good or bad. And so that's really what we're, I think, emphasizing here as we get ready to play more Criminal Minds audio in the second half of the show.
Yeah, I've kind of thought of an analogy of this. It's kind of like passing a bill, but it's got a writer in it that's really seriously bad. People focus on the bill that gets passed and not on the really bad stuff that gets attached to it. And so in a way, this is the same thing. It's you kind of like the overall plot, but at the same time, you're accepting a lot of really bad doctrine attached to it. And to me, it was so obvious what they were trying to do with the plot that I likened it to sticking a Technicolor nude bathing scene into a black and white cowboy western. It was so obviously that it didn't need to be there. The kind of stuff they put in could have been taken out, and you wouldn't have noticed any difference in the real plot.
In other words, completely gratuitous.
Yes, it's just secondary material that was just crammed into it. That in a way, and what I said at the end was that the movie could have been really enjoyed had it not been loaded with high-capacity, nation-killing global magazine. So I likened it to loading it up with a killing magazine like you would a gun. And I left the movie unable to embrace the honesty of the poor legal immigrant because I was bleeding from the knife wounds to our nation left by the trillion-dollar global movie moguls. So the movie could have been really good, and it reduced it, in my opinion, to a cheap piece of propaganda.
And we'll hold that thought, and we'll expand from there right after this. Stay tuned.
Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Talk Right, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. Talk Right makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download Talk Right today from Google Play or the App Store.
Hey, is that a new music app?
Yeah, check it out, Surfer Music Discovery. It links to thousands of online stations, but the twist is you see the song names and artists that are now playing live.
That's different. No guessing. Looks like a waterfall of music.
So many formats. Rock, oldies, country, R&B, jazz, and a whole lot more.
How's that spelled?
Surfer. S-U-R-F-R.
Is it expensive?
It's free. No need to sign up or sign in.
Get the Surfer Music app free from Google Play or the App Store.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Welcome back to Stop the Presses. Finally returning live today, your host Mark Anderson, 27 December 2019, as 2019 gets ready to draw to a close. My guest today, co-host Ron Avery, and we are talking about propaganda delivered through fictional means, through movies, dramas, novels, things like that. And of course, those things can be used for the good. They're tools, neutral things that can go either way. But it's something often overlooked, as we only focus too much on the mass media cartel, as important as that may be. Ron, you wanted to maybe flesh out a little more about that movie, Knives Out. Go right ahead, and then we're going to play a little more Criminal Minds audio clips.
Okay, great. We'll finish this one up. The main plot of this thing is about a wealthy patriarch whose family is unworthy of the inheritance. And the twist they put to it is is a nurse that helps the patriarch, a good-hearted young woman, is really from Paraguay, South America, and lives with her poor mother and sister, and they're legal immigrants. But even in the movie, the family debates the corruption of illegal immigration, and they drag the good-hearted nurse into it as the correct example. But in the end, the worthless grandson says that he will fight to keep his home and his inheritance he received from his ancestors, from the nurse that gets the entire estate, and no other real ancestors get any of the estate. and the big city country bumpkin kind of James Bond figure, who actually does play James Bond in other movies, he declares that the family has no ancestral claims to their inheritance, as it all came to them in the last 100 years or so. But in the last scene, they show the nurse deciding not to give anything back to the family or any member of it, and she's standing on the second floor balcony overlooking the driveway of this major estate and mansion where the rest of the family is gathered in the driveway, and the camera zooms in on her drinking from a cup that says, this house is my house. And so you get the idea that she's going to keep it, and those lousy, unworthy pieces of garbage should not inherit any of their father or grandfather's estate. So anyway, to me, it just meant that the borders are down, ringing the bell, come and get it. We're lousy, the lousy white people have no ancestral claim to America, and they shouldn't be giving their estates to their offspring, and they should be just giving it to anybody with a good heart that shows up.
Yeah, in other words, completely getting rid of the whole idea of title or property rights or the notion of even fair play.
Correct, yeah. So all you need is a good heart and be from some other country, and all of it's yours. You know, you just take the whole thing, you know.
Right, so the country you came from, you could have claims there too because, hey, that's your homeland. And then you come to this adopted country, and it's as if you're still in your homeland. Yes, it's a common refrain that the European-American, those that have European extraction largely, not completely, but largely, are the whipping boy now. And as it is in that movie starring Daniel Craig, he's the one that is often portraying James Bond.
Right.
So too in Criminal Minds, as we segue back over to that, and many of the other crime dramas such as Chicago PD, Law and Order, and to some extent, not quite as bad, Blue Bloods with Tom Selleck about the Irish family in New York. But let's taking Law and Order just for a moment before we get into another video segment of Criminal Minds. Law and Order is written by a particularly propagandistic producer named Dick Wolf. I call him Wolf Dick. And he is on the record as being on a diatribe, on a personal mission against anti-vaxxers. You're supposed to take any vaccine, any and all, without any question, against homeschoolers, many of whom are skeptical about vaccines, against the Second Amendment, and, of course, the Marxist view of the First Amendment. If you're not a full-blown internationalist, you don't have any free speech rights. That's the Marxist view of free speech. And so it goes with Law and Order. And Criminal Minds just happens to be still running. That's the big thing about it. Pretty much all the other ones are purely in rerun mode now. And so we're going to get back into Criminal Minds now. We're going to listen to another audio segment.
Hey, Mark, yes. Do they call this show Law and Order? Even that is deceptive for what they're pushing.
Yes.
See, they rename it something that sounds great when nothing they're talking about has to do with law and order.
No, not in the objective sense of the word. And it's notable, too, to mention that nowadays with these shows, with the rarest of exceptions, the middle-aged white male is the criminal, the murderer, the rapist, the thief, whatever it might be. It is very difficult to find one of these, unless there's the occasional accomplice, that doesn't have the criminal being a middle-aged white angry male who has no inherent right to anything.
Right.
And can't find a girl, you know, still plays video games when he's 50, you know, has a, you know, unshaven face and whatnot.
Right.
But anyway, what we're going to hear now in a moment is the Criminal Minds segment where an FBI female agent from the behavioral unit that I talked about is interviewing a young lady who is a conspiracy theorist slash truther. And when you listen to the banter, when you listen to the exchange and the dialogue, you get a real clear idea, especially without seeing the distracting video images. Just listening to the audio is much more revealing. You get a much clearer idea in this segment than in the earlier one about where they're going with this, putting heavier and heavier propaganda into fictional formats to make it more easily deliverable and digestible. So let's play that now. It might go a little bit longer, but let's go with that now.
We don't just have egg on our face. We have blood on our hands. It's not like these conspiracy theorists are going to be quiet.
I am aware of that. I need options.
We're out of them. And the profile says it's a truther, and only one of them is talking to us. We have to throw a Hail Mary.
Say something. I need to make sure the levels are good.
I'm Dr. Tara Lewis of the BA.
No, no. Say something interesting. Tell me how you really feel about truthers. My audience could use a sense of the FBI's bias against us.
I got my PhD by taking a theory, testing it, and then proving my results. Now, proving my results means that I take those results and I turn them over to other scientists to see if they can replicate them. And if they can't, then my theory was wrong. See, that's science, a consensus of evidence that we call truth. What you do is different.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is, because your theories are unprovable. Give me one.
President Obama wasn't born here. He was born in Kenya.
Perfect. That's perfect. So I show you his long-form birth certificate, and then you would respond that it's been faked because that's how deep the conspiracy goes. And then that becomes your argument against any evidence that I provide. It's a cognitive trick that keeps you from having to admit that life is messy. It's random. Not everything fits the easy explanation that a conspiracy gives you.
All right, then. Well, let's talk about the murders. When did you first hear about them?
Yesterday, when we were invited in.
It's time to get out our tinfoil hats, my fine furry friends, because we are on our way to Roswell, New Mexico, a.k.a. ground zero of conspiracy theorists, because of a certain alien crash. I mean, weather balloon.
The sheriff there has had two suspicious deaths over the last 48 hours. Both victims were members of the Truther Movement.
Yes, which is a group of conspiracy theorists who share their out-there beliefs online with each other. No judgment here. Let's look at our first victim, Brian Bahar. He believed that the fluoride they put in our drinking water is a mind-control agent meant to keep us docile. He died by drowning. People drown all the time, you say. I say not in their own aquariums.
So the MO matches his conspiracy. Is that a coincidence or a choice?
That depends on victim number two.
That's Carl Lee. He's a JFK conspiracy nut who was shot once in the throat.
As anyone who saw the Zapruder film knows, that's where the first bullet struck Kennedy.
Carl Lee we can definitively classify as a homicide, but the drowning death, that could have another explanation.
That's why we'll be treating this as an equivocal death investigation. Wheels up in 20.
Back up. What was that term you used? Equivocal something?
Okay,
an equivocal
I'll
death investigation.
There. Your host, Mark Anderson, cutting back in here. That gets a little jumbled, Ron. When the agent's talking to the young truther, then it cuts to another part where the computer analyst of the FBI group is looking up people on their behalf, and that's when they get into these comments about fluoride and about Kennedy. Now, what's particularly interesting there, starting with the Obama birth certificate comment, you'll notice that in each instance, the idea is that the conspiracy theorist or truther is being told in no uncertain terms that in each case, the conventional story has to be true.
Yes, and the other thing that's obvious in this one is they stop with just the birth certificate and then what could be said about it when there's a lot more information out there that is available that is unexplainable if he was born in America. Essentially, one of them was that he obtained a foreign student to go to a college. I think it was University of Columbia. He received a scholarship as a foreign student. Well, how in the world would he get a foreign student status if he was born in America?
Yeah, now, exactly.
You see, they don't cover the evidence. They just throw a little something out. All it is all this is making anybody that inquires into anything going on, they slam them with one little piece of information as if that was absolute proof of something.
Yeah, it's interesting there, too, because and it also doesn't look at the qualitative aspects of evidence. Joe Arpaio, with whom I have some acquaintance, the retired Arizona sheriff that ran for office, including president, in pretty clear terms, showed that the birth certificate of Barack Obama was to be doubted, and that there were strong reasons to doubt its authenticity. Now, when that document itself, when the evidence, the preponderance of the evidence beyond a reasonable doubt, strongly suggests it's not legitimate, that is a qualitative thing. If that's not legitimate, then a lot of other things probably are very questionable or not legitimate. In other words, a birth certificate is not an incidental matter. It's a very fundamental, highly qualitative piece of evidence. So for that to be shown, for that to, you know, have a lot of doubt cast on it is much more meaningful than some other more spurious piece of evidence.
Well, and they act like one document is unimpeachable in any condition. And that's the same thing that happened with Jim Fetzer in this trial with Posner, is they had an incomplete death certificate claiming it was absolutely the death certificate. And he was found guilty of libel on a summary judgment based on an incomplete death certificate, which is unlawful on its face.
Yeah, exactly. And then to move on to the fluoride thing, they just make a sweeping comment, even though
throw in the trails, the vapor trails, the chemtrails. They just grab everything that anybody has questioned about our government, what's it doing, and lumped it into a big old bag and called it conspiracy theorists. Well, that's just a crock of crap, because what that is really people doing their civic citizen duty of being alert to maintain real civil authority instead of tyranny.
Exactly. So if I go to the local city council and I say, look, there's plenty of evidence that fluoride's not good for you, I'm not going to call it a communist conspiracy from the 50s. But if somebody wants fluoride, they can go buy specially made water with fluoride in it at the store. You shouldn't put it in the common public water. Instead of looking at it objectively, they're probably going to look at me like I'm a loon, when there's every reason to question many of the additives put in our food as well as our water. And that
common sense health. Yeah, if they watch movies like this, they think they're justified in lumping you into a nutcase stuff.
Yeah, and I think that's what this serves to do. It serves to poison the well, pardon the metaphor, to discourage further inquiry from those that would make the inquiries, and to make those that would hear the inquiries more dismissive, more skeptical, more likely to say, get on out of here, you middle-aged white nut, or whatever the case might be. And and then moving on, I can't resist, as a JFK researcher myself, I know that's become something of a cliche these days to even say, but when they couldn't leave out the comment about, and as the Zapruder film shows, the first bullet hit Kennedy in the throat, when in the documentary that I helped research, My God, I'm Hit, which is at mygodimhit.com, it shows very clearly, if you blow it up, that the Zapruder film was doctored, and that first shot very likely was not in the throat, and that the arms were an animation purporting to show Kennedy to reach for his throat, when in fact on the street that day, no one saw Kennedy reach for his throat, and everyone saw him slump down in the seat. So they try and sell you on that critical part of the Warren Commission claim, that first shot could only have hit him in the throat. It has to be true. The so-called unimpeachable Z film says it's true. Who are you to disbelieve anything? Just go back to sleep, get the remote, get your popcorn, and keep watching. Now, let's say I'm wrong about the throat shot. That doesn't give the majority that don't believe that, excuse me, that doesn't give the majority that do believe in the Zapruder film, that do believe everything they're told, it does not give them the right to shout me down and prevent me from being heard. And, but that's what's happening in this country, is we have the right to speak, but we don't have the right to be heard.
Yeah.
And that's what they're trying to shut down, people that question things from being heard. Free speech without the freedom to be heard is like having your vocal cords cut out.
Right. I mean, yeah. That's what happens, though, when they buy up all the media, when they control the media and they control Hollywood, that make all these movies. They're in complete control of your mentality, what you're thinking.
Yeah, and what we're seeing here, and there'll be more shows about this, ladies and gentlemen, we're seeing the use, the increased use, in my opinion, I've been paying attention for about a year now, of the fictional format. That's becoming the more propaganda avenue, more of choice now. I think they're kind of catching on that we're pushing back pretty hard against the mass media cartel in terms of the so-called nonfiction news, although the media cartel has an amazing way of turning nonfiction into fiction. How they do it, I don't know, but that's what lying does. But so I really think that they're the movie you saw, Knives Out, and these police dramas and many other shows, be they comedy, be they other forms of entertainment media, that is now becoming a very strong avenue for showing the world dystopia that they want to create.
And if you think about it, Mark, it's really more clever to do it this way, because if you do it in a more formal setting in terms of news and debates on the House floor, they don't have anything there. They don't have real solid doctrines that are based on reality and true principle. So they can't win arguments on real principle, and it's futile for them to try it. That's why they try to go around the Constitution, because they don't have any arguments to alter it. So they try to make laws, pass laws without altering the Constitution, that violate the Constitution, because they don't have good arguments, and they can't make them in public or newsworthy. So what they do is they put them in all these fictional things and play ominous music in the background to them. So you go, oh, wow, we don't want to do that. Just listen to the music. That's creepy. And that's what the segment you played has, creepy music behind it. It's all mysterious, creepy. And so that you don't want to be a mysterious, creepy conspiracy theorist. You want to be mainstream and be playing the 76 trombones.
Yeah, not some ghoul, not some leper on the fringes of society. Yeah, exactly. And I think that's a pretty good analysis. They want to be able to alter our country and alter the Constitution without amendment, which delegitimizes the government and makes it a, basically, like you argue, and I've come to be pretty convinced about this, makes it a dissolved government, because they're not operating according to the very function that they were delegated to have, and they're altering our political reality without following the proper procedures. And so they have to rule by fiat, by complete deception, and that includes the news airwaves, and that is broken down into both entertainment as well as the news media. And then that way they do this end run around our whole cultural, social, economic, and political makeup, our whole polity.
Right.
And so then I think that throws into very sharp relief what we're seeing on these crime dramas, among other shows, and the movies like you described. This end run around our minds to tell you in a sort of subterranean way, if you're listening to this, this is what happens to people that question things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, can you imagine what would happen if you and I had a TV show came on weekly, and we get to select the music and the words and the dialogue, and we could have guys that are standing up for the Second Amendment, and we'd play some powerful music to it and all. Let me tell you, it would captivate America in a heartbeat.
And isn't it interesting? It sure would. Isn't it interesting, though, that The answer to that is not a chance. Isn't it interesting that people like Jeff Davis, one out of a billion people, will get to hypnotize viewers with shows like what we've been playing today? Such a tiny handful of humanity will be given the opportunity to be writing scripts for movies and TV dramas, to tell people to vent their spleen, to bare their soul, to tell us how things are going to be or how things ought to be, and how many people are going to be closed out of that forever, generation after generation after generation. And these TV towers are stationed around our house, Ron, telling us messages dreamed up by a tiny, tiny, tiny minority of people that are telling us.
I think that's why we should annually have a competition of who can drag their television behind their car the furthest down Main Street in protest of television altogether. I think we ought to get out in the parks, take fake TVs, bust them up with baseball bats, and make a big and burn a few of them. We ought to be telling these gangsters and thieves who have taken over our media in this country just what we think of that stuff. It's garbage. It's deception at every level.
Yeah, and it's being weaponized to discourage actual dissent and encourage revolutionary Marxist internationalist ideas.
Right. It's to bring America as a slave state of the global bankarchy.
And certainly it was a big part of de-Christianizing the country. It played a crucial role in that. And it's always worth remembering that the founder of NBC, David Sarnoff, and the founder of CBS, William Paley, both came out of military intelligence.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's very instructive, too, as we wind up today's show. Sorry we couldn't take any callers. It's very instructive also to remember that of all the inventions, TV, no one can really name definitively who created television. Radio, we think of Marconi and maybe, you know, Tesla, and the light bulb, Thomas Alva Edison. Motion pictures in general, Thomas Alva Edison. But television, we come up with a blank. The telephone, Alexander Graham Bell. But television seems to have come out of some sort of very strange and mysterious niche.
A government lab.
I cannot jump to conclusions. But the fact is we don't know. Why don't we know?
Yeah.
See, why don't we know? And your idea of taking cardboard TVs and making a mess of them is pretty tempting, I gotta say.
Well, I think we ought to get to work on that straight away. We might not be able to have a program, but we can sure beat the tar out of a few of them.
And we can do that trick where you cut a hole in it and one of us gets inside of it and makes a mock newscast. Oh, boy, could we have fun with that.
There you go.
All right. Well, thanks for joining me today, Ron, as a co-host.
Yeah, it's been fun. Thank you.
Yep, and that's the first of many installments coming up on Looking at Entertainment Media. We'll see everybody next time, including with Jason Mangum with an impeachment review this coming Monday here on Stop the Presses. Have a soon-to-be good new year.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You're a- listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.